we get things underway this afternoon by welcoming into the program a gentleman who was a member of SEAL Team 5, some of the first SEALs deployed to Iraq in early 2003. After returning to civilian life, he earned an MBA and has built award-winning multi-million dollar organizations that have repeatedly landed on the Inc. 500 list of the fastest growing private companies. He's the author of Taking Point and the brand new book, Embrace the Suck, the Navy SEAL Way to an Extraordinary Life. We welcome Brent Gleason to the show. Brent, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, thanks so much. Thrilled to be on the show.
And first of all, the really important stuff, congratulations on the new baby.
Yeah, we figured 2020 wasn't chaotic enough, so let's have another human in the mix. So we had a new son, Walker, was born on New Year's Eve.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, congratulations on that. The book is just terrific, and you say right in the preface to it, this is a book largely about resilience.
Absolutely, and people often ask, well, you know, embrace the suck. What does that term mean? And the term was born in the United States military, definitely adopted within the ranks of the Special Operations Selection Programs. And essentially, it's about being intentional in the fine art of comfort zone expansion, sort of leaning into adversity, pain, suffering, you know, stress and anxiety, and finding, new ways to seek enlightenment, wisdom, but also moving more quickly from the normal human emotion and the bunker of causal thinking and analysis paralysis, why me, why now, why this, more rapidly into action-oriented execution. So taking stock of your current situation, developing a plan, and stepping back onto the battlefield of life.
And a big part of the story that follows throughout is the notion of a fixed mindset versus a growth mindset. Can you explain the difference?
Yes, and we actually teach this philosophy in my company's leadership development programs. And essentially, it's breaking down, you know, a fixed mindset when it comes to, you know, skills and challenges and setbacks. Your mindset is one of, well, I am who I am. The skills that I have or the skills that I have, they cannot be developed any further. My shortcomings and flaws cannot be changed or developed. Whereas a growth mindset really is the core tenet of resilience, of mental fortitude, of grit, where you see challenges as opportunities for growth. You see setbacks as not just acceptable, but really pivotal in the meandering path towards success, towards goal achievement, exceeding goals, and really always seeking feedback, you know, from others. People with a growth mindset really crave constant development. They're never satisfied with the status quo. They're always trying to be better.
I thought this was very interesting. You say culture plays an important role in how we deal with suffering. Can you explain that?
Sure. And some of the research I did for the book, you know, I looked at the variance between, you know, different cultures. In its simplest form, for example, in Western culture, more or less, you know, we seek pleasure and avoid pain at all costs. Whereas in Eastern cultures, in some Eastern cultures, for example, they see pain and suffering as not just a part of life, but critical for growth, development, seeking wisdom and seeking, enlightenment as we go down this sort of path towards, personal development.
We're talking with Brent Gleason here on Downtown. I teach high school students, so I was especially drawn to this because I think I've said it. I know I've said it to students before. You got dealt a bad hand, get over it.
It kind of ties into the existing culture we kind of live in. Some people feel that it's sort of that everybody gets a trophy type of culture, and you know, you hear that term snowflakes being thrown around a lot, and we look at some of the younger generations, no offense to them, of course, as being a product of, you know, the older generation not developing them as we fit. And in that chapter, I share, you know, obviously some gritty stories, one of them being from my former, you know, friend and SEAL teammate, Jason Redman, and it's about some very severe injuries he sustained as a combat leader in a combat operation in Fallujah. And essentially, he's probably one of the most motivational, happy, enlightened people I've ever met. And not for one minute did he wallow in his misery. He took stock of that situation, understood his new reality, took the list of all the things the doctors told him he would never be able to do, and used that as his new to-do list, more or less. And has since become a 2-time best-selling author, world-renowned speaker, and a great entrepreneur and consultant. And he's just happier and more fulfilled. I mean, research actually shows that people who have not just been through, but overcome significant, you know, pain, suffering, whether that be eating cancer or, you know, living through a prisoner of war camp or going through things like Jason did, oftentimes with the right mindset and the right development, are happier, more fulfilled, more emotionally mature, and see the world through a different lens. And I mean that in the most positive way.
I love the questions that you need to ask yourself, and this is a great one. Do I spend too much time analyzing what's beyond my control, or find the silver lining and move forward?
Sure. One of the other core components of resilience and a growth mindset and grit and mental fortitude is focusing your time and energy on things within your control and sphere of influence. And you think about how much time do we typically, just as humans, we're all imperfect, we spend a lot of time and energy and emotion on things we can't impact. I mean, think about what we've all been through over the past 11 months or so, things that are wildly out of our control. COVID has impacted people's businesses, lives, relationships, faith, financial situations. And I think at least for many of us in the first couple months of that, we probably spent a lot of time in that bunker of causal thinking of how could this have possibly happened, you know, why now? About to grow my business, or my relationship was just flourishing, and I've got all these other crazy things going on in my life, and then boom, this hits. Whereas the growth mindset moves more quickly into a state of planning, saying, okay, here's what we have. This is in my control. These elements are out of my control. I'm not going to ignore them, but I'm going to deprioritize them because you want to maintain situational awareness. And then you go into focusing on what's in your control. You take stock of that, you develop a plan around that, and then you move forward and continue to execute.
You've got a great plan laid out in here in the Personal Values Manifesto mental model, and it starts with doing a little personal inventory of your values, and it's good to have more than one or two, I would say.
Well, how often do we really think about our true core values? I mean, if you think about high-performing business organizations have a solid set of core values that are authentic and they use to make decisions and shape the future of the organization. Winning sports teams do it. Special operations units, have culture manifestos and a set of values. Well, then why wouldn't we do that for ourselves or for our families? So I kind of dove into that by looking at, you know, what is a model that people could actually use? Because I wanted this, because this book falls into that self-help genre, I wanted it to be very actionable, because in doing the research, I didn't see a lot of really actionable books that fell into that category. And so I developed a model for, and it's kind of going along the lines of the planning process, but trying to develop your personal values manifesto, you know, 4 to 6 core values, understanding what those supporting behaviors that you expect of yourself and others for each of those values. And more importantly, aligning those with accountability mechanisms. So how am I going to hold myself accountable to these supporting behaviors to ensure that I'm living by this value?
You also talk a lot in the book, and again, something we preach in education, and that's the value of failure. Too often people try to avoid that because it might be painful, but more often than not, that's where we have the greatest opportunity for learning and growth.
Oh, sure. I mean, failure breeds opportunity. It breeds success. Think about how often we spend looking at the people out there on social media or on the news or out there in the world who we deem to be so successful. And we're like, well, how did they get there? It's amazing they've done what they've done. But we fail to realize or even know about, because those items are less publicized, is, you know, the road that's pockmarked with what I call micro failures. So all the setbacks, all the failures, all the even people who are telling them that they couldn't do this or shouldn't do that because it's too risky or they're just not good enough at it. Yet, with the growth mindset, they navigated all those obstacles and got better and better every single time. So, you know, understanding that failure is not just a reality of life, but is actually critical for gaining success. So when you think about adversity, when you think about failure, say to yourself, good, now I can get better. Good, now I can learn. Because in life, you know, we're either winning or we're learning. That's the way you have to look at it.
How important is it, Brent, to push the boundaries of your own personal comfort zone?
Well, that's essentially the overarching theme of it, is not just developing some grit and mental fortitude in a reactive manner because of the general obstacles and setbacks we all inevitably face throughout our entire lives, but being more intentional about it, especially as it relates to personal development, professional development, achieving goals. and understanding the things that make you uncomfortable. We have a saying in the SEAL teams, you have to get comfortable being uncomfortable. And there's obviously a way to do that. You can't do it all at once. You have to kind of eat the elephant one bite at a time. But being very intentional in how we expand our comfort zone. Yeah, I use some references to fitness goals, for example, in the book, because it's kind of an easy analogy. Well, if I want to become a marathon runner, and the furthest I've run is 5 miles in my entire life, well, you're probably not just going to set out one day on a Tuesday afternoon and say, I'm going to run 26.2 miles. You have to be intentional in how you're going to train, how you're going to plan, and how you're going to envision that winning outcome. And there's going to be a lot of discomfort that will be part of the development towards that goal. You have to accept that and embrace it and use it as a pathway.
I have to think this chapter might be challenging for a lot of people, and that's the notion that we should do something that sucks every day.
I borrowed that phrase from my friend and former teammate David Goggins, who many of your listeners will know who he is, former retired SEAL, world-class ultra athlete, ultra marathon runner. He has about 3.5 million Instagram followers, so pretty well known out there. Very inspirational guy. But one of his philosophies, and obviously it's put in a very simple way, is do something that sucks every day. Now, that's not to say that we should be doing the wrong things that suck just for the sake of doing them. But it, again, goes back to what a lot of the book about is setting and achieving lofty goals. So when we have goals that are beyond our comfort zone, they're stretch goals, or there's going to be things within achieving those goals that make us uncomfortable, I go into talking about make a list of those things that make you cringe, that make you uncomfortable. And practice those things with intention. And a lot of research that's done around people with quote unquote expertise, one of the three core components of achieving expertise, which Retro says it will take 10 years or more, is they practice intentionally. If you want to become a good open water swimmer, you don't do that by just floating around in the Pacific. You practice very, very intentionally with coaches and mentors and with plans. And you tackle those things that make you uncomfortable, the things that suck, on a daily basis or on a weekly basis or whatever that plan involves, so you get better at them. And therefore, you're expanding your comfort zone. And then you can move the goalposts and do it again, and your comfort zone expands over time. You develop more grit, more mental fortitude, and more resilience. And then the things that used to seem insurmountable become part of your everyday life.
How big a part of personal discipline and accountability is the ability to avoid temptation?
Yeah, and that's one of the things in the chapter. I thought it'd be interesting to put that into the book because, when it comes to navigating adverse times or achieving goals, whether they be personal or professional, there's a lot of distractions out there, now more so than ever. And one of the things I reference is James Clear. He's a best-selling author, and he, one of his philosophies is, to avoid temptation, one of the easiest things to do is have better constraints, put better limitations on ourselves. And it's a very simple but powerful philosophy because, if you want to achieve a specific goal, like, for example, prior to the SEAL teams, I was a financial analyst. So when I decided to make that obvious transition from financial analyst to SEAL, I realized that everything in my world had to change. I had to have really solid constraints. I had to have massive amounts of discipline and personal accountability. And I realized very quickly, I was a young, 23-year-old kid, living in, downtown Dallas, corporate America, a lot of temptation. People wanted to go out to the bars every night. People wanted to do this and that on the weekends. Well, I had to train every night after work. I had to train every Saturday, every Sunday. I had to focus on, mental wellness, mental fortitude, training my mind and body. Well, that takes a lot of time and discipline. So I had to remove all those distractions from my life and put better limitations on myself, and thereby naturally and sort of organically limiting the opportunity for distractions and temptation. When we can do that, we can intentionally develop greater willpower.
Obviously, this is essential as a Navy SEAL, but in anything in life, if you're going to go in a new direction and work towards self-improvement, yes, it's great to be committed to yourself, but how important is it, as you put it, to assemble that red team, to have the people around you that can support you but also hold you accountable?
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of studies show that, people who've achieved large amounts of success, however we like to define that. It's all, we all have a different definition, have definitely had coaches, mentors, and trusted peers at their side. There's a lot of developmental psychology around young people, and you know, whether it's middle school or high school, where studies have shown that they've had close friends and family supporting them through their most developmental years. They've had coaches and mentors that push them unemotionally. And the red team is a phrase kind of, you know, born in the military. It's used a lot, you know, in business right now. But essentially, it's about having a plan, but then having trusted peer mentors or coaches or a small group essentially poke holes in that plan and provide you with some possible insight into, you know, your objective, your resource needs, your threats and blockages, and you know, things you might want to consider as contingencies to make sure your plan is rock solid. So gaining outside perspective on whatever that plan might be, again, a fitness goal, a career path change, you know, a relationship, be careful about that one, but having trusted peers and mentors, and again, people with that growth mindset, not just believe in that, but crave it strongly, and use that type of feedback to be in a constant state of improvement.
Well, whatever you want to do and attempt to improve your life, this is a wonderful guidebook. It's Embrace the Suck, the Navy SEAL Way to an Extraordinary Life. Brent Gleason, thank you so much for carving out some time for us today. We appreciate it.
Oh, it was an honor and pleasure, and thanks for having me on the show.
Brent Gleason with us here on Dantech.